right, I believe that is 5:30, so I'll go ahead and call this May 24, 2018 meeting of the Carson City Library Board of Trustees to order. And we can proceed with the roll call.
Chairperson Hayes?
Present.
Vice Chair Long?
She spoke to me and she's not going to be here this evening.
Okay. Trustee Liberati?
Present.
Trustee Patton?
Here.
Trustee Sullinger?
Thank you very much. With that, we can move on to item two, public comment. If any members of the public wish to address the library board, now is the time.
Hello, everyone. My name is Crystal. I'm nervous. Bear with me.
Crystal, for the record, could you state your last name, please, too?
It's hyphenated.
That's okay.
Winter Powers. Good afternoon. My name is Crystal, and I am a citizen of this great town. I married into Nevada about 10 years ago, having grown up in a small town, USA. I have a real appreciation for the small town feel, balanced with the big city conveniences and services that Carson City has to offer. I'm here today because I want to protect that feeling. I want to help you, the board of this great city, to protect that fragile balance. I was raised to see something, say something, but not just to find fault or to complain, but to be a part of the solution as well. So today I am here to address a growing need that, if left unaddressed, will become a growing problem with a possible serious negative outcome. But first, who am I? As you already know, I'm from a small town, USA. We had a small ranch and eventually opened a feed store. I went on to become an animal control officer for Sacramento County. Several years later, I worked with the domestic violence program after having myself become a victim of a violent assault in a state park. I've worked closely with the disabled, having a daughter with Down syndrome. And in recent years, I have divided my time between managing several small businesses, along with volunteering with my local community emergency response team, CERT. I am Train the Trainer certified for CERT, my specialty being the unit on terrorism. This is close to my heart, having visited Ground Zero early on in an effort to serve my country in a great time of need. What I bring to the table today is my knowledge of terrorism, human nature, and human frailties. Because of my volunteer work, I have been trained through FEMA for incident command systems, known as ICS, search and rescue, active shooter. I have also been trained as a terrorist liaison, emergency manager, and in threat and hazard identification risk assessment, otherwise known as THIRA. In the letter I present to you today, which I have copies of, it is my intention to address this mounting problem I have been observing at our city's library. Please know I am not against any particular population out of hand. However, I wish to address the issue of increasing number of homeless in our area. The homeless in our country are comprised of a wide demographic. We have vets of all races, colors, and creeds. We have families, some of which never recovered from the 2008 housing crash. We have individuals with mental health issues, and we have the chronically unemployed. And yes, drugs and alcohol, along with panhandling, tend to plague this group. I also understand their presence at our library at any given day is guaranteed. After all, they too are citizens of this great country. In my letter, I have pinpointed some issues, my main concern being your library staff having to monitor and regulate this population. And in my letter, I have offered solutions, one of which would be to have multi-jurisdictional law enforcement agencies walk through daily. I can understand this course of action might not be the best use of resources in the eyes of law enforcement. However, as a teacher of after-school child care programs and a worker in the alternative sentencing industry, I have observed the old saying, An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure, to be true. I am suggesting taking 10 minutes a day, prevention, to prevent an all-out incident plus response, cure. A daily friendly officer walkthrough, one where children are greeted, elders' hands are shaken, a hi, how are you, to the staff could generate a culture within our public services that promotes safety. Safety for everyone and public services for all walks of life. This option may be a down-the-road solution, so I have also brought to the table a couple of quick and easy-to-implement solutions. The first, as we have children coming and going from this facility and from the Aquatic Center, I would suggest these sites be treated as any school and would be a no-smoking zone of at least 100 feet. That would place all smokers out in the parking lot. They would no longer be smoking right outside the library doors or by the secret garden. Second, when Sheriff Furlong and I discussed this several weeks ago, he mentioned that a sign might help to make some of, to take some of the burden off the staff for monitoring. And I have an example here. Let me hand it out real quick. Thank you for your patience. When Sheriff Furlong and I discussed this several weeks ago, he mentioned a sign. A sign like this would encourage folks to see something, say something, which would then discourage those disposed to poor behavior from acting out, be it intoxication, voyeurism, foul language, littering, etc. Those being reported for their actions would not know who reported them. It could be anyone, thus helping to protect the staff as much as possible from retaliation, which is the real reason I'm here. We have amazing staff, both young and old, at our library, who do a wonderful job. Please don't wait till someone gets hurt before taking action. Please do consider, in prevention, do consider preventing for some things. There is no cure. Thank you for your time and attention to this matter.
I'm sorry, you said your name was Ms. Winter Powers?
Yes.
I'm
sorry, don't you need to get so emotional?
No, that's totally fine. I noticed that you address the Board of Trustees as the Board of the City, and I just wanted to make sure that, for the record, everybody knows that this is the Library Board of Trustees, not the Carson City Board of Supervisors.
Yes. I thank you for clarifying that. Any questions?
Ms. Winter Powers, I would like to thank you for addressing the Board. Of course, we can't take action immediately on an issue like this without it being agendized. However, I would like to put your mind at ease to a certain extent. We have been in talks previously, I believe it was when we were working on the strategic plan, talking about having police walkthroughs in the building. I don't think that came to fruition. The no smoking zone has been moved out into the parking lot already. We're hoping that that's going to be enforced a little bit better in the future. I don't know that we've had any enforcement issues with that.
So what I can say, the first item that you mentioned was the deputy. If we call, they will come and do a walkthrough if they are available to come and do a walkthrough. So it's not every day. It's not 10 minutes a day. But that is available if staff see see something that is before an incident that we don't want to become an incident, we can request that. Second, we have moved that smoking area out there. This has been, I don't know, months, I think last fall. But individuals are still smoking in that space. Now, what that requires is that requires patrons actually telling us that that's happening, and then a librarian or staff have to go out and deal with that incident.
My concern is that your staff is walking out to their cars by themselves at the end of the workday. And these individuals, again, some of them with mental health issues, may take offense to being told they can't smoke. You might want to consider improving your signage, because I haven't really known. I mean, I'm just.
Have we had any issues with that, Sina?
We have, I think, pretty significant signage requesting. Essentially, the law is 25 feet from any window or door. But, yeah, we can't have a discussion on this. So I'm just, this is what we're doing and what we've done. So,
okay. You know, and some of my questions just for you guys to think about, being I am a trainer on terrorism, and we've had in my particular unit that I train on is shelter in place and doing drills, knowing that your staff, I'm sorry, I'm just bringing it up because I'm here and I'll let you be, but shelter in place, active shooter, these kind of drills, even for you today in this room, if there was an active shooter incident, do you know where to go, where you can get behind a locked door?
Staff at the library has been trained in active shooter.
But for you meeting,
I just
do you know where to go?
This is kind of turning into discussion, which I appreciate. No, I just want to suggest that maybe if we wanted a more extensive discussion, that we could put this on the agenda for next month.
Right.
We could invite Ms. Winter Powers back, and we could research some of the concerns that she's expressing today. So,
okay. Just want everyone to be safe and have a great day.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Seeing no further public comment forthcoming, we'll move on to item 3, approval of the minutes from the previous meeting. Did everybody have a chance to review those minutes, and were there any corrections necessary?
Yes, there were. On the minutes of April 26th, the very first line says, the meeting of the Carson Board of Trustees was scheduled for Thursday, March 22nd, and then John says he wasn't here, and it says he was. Right. So she got two groups of minutes, I think, combined there or something. Those need to be corrected.
Is that the only change necessary to the minutes?
The only ones I saw in the April 26th.
Okay. In that case, I would entertain a motion to approve the minutes as corrected.
I so move.
I'll second.
Okay, those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? Hearing none, the motion carries. Moving on to the meeting minutes from May 3rd. Did everybody have a chance to review those minutes, and were there any corrections? In that case, I would entertain a motion to approve them.
I move to approve the minutes as presented.
I'll second.
Those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Hearing none, the motion carries. Moving on to item 4, the Friends of the Carson City Library report.
Okay, since I'm the one that wrote the report for you in this minute, it is pretty self-explanatory. It's been a... April was a great month for us, both donation-wise and sales-wise, and good attendance at both of the author events that we had in April and the 1st of May, so that was all very good. We just recently signed on with a social media person and website design, so you will soon be seeing us much more visible out there in the digital world. I can't tell you exactly when, but we're starting to work on it right now. Our next author event will be the 13th of June, which I believe is a Wednesday. And I have drawn a blank on what the lady's last name is, but she is a local author from South Lake Tahoe. She's written three books so far in what she calls the Mountain Girl Mysteries series. So she's going to come and talk about all three of them, but she said since she has never been here, she will concentrate on the first one so that we all get a feel for why she wrote what she did and how it's moving on. And there will be a parking lot sale sometime in June, but we haven't announced the date yet. That's it.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Phyllis. Moving on to item 5, Library Board of Trustees business, starting with 5A, discussion and possible action to approve the unclassified job performance appraisal for the library director, Sina Lloyd.
Hi, Jeremy. Would you like to speak about that?
That I would. So I sent out the performance appraisal to all of the Board of Trustees. I believe that I heard back from everybody. I think I got Amanda's right at the last second. So I believe that everybody had time to review the results of that performance assessment. You know, in general, everything that we're seeing from the library director has been phenomenal. You know, she is hitting each one of the objectives outlined in the strategic plan, and I found no reason to give her anything less than an outstanding rating. If any board members would like to speak to that, for or against it, I would welcome it right now.
Well, I happen to agree with you. I think she's doing a marvelous job. She's done everything we've asked her to do, which was to go out and make the community aware of what all the library had to offer, and I think she's doing a great job of that. She's now has us recognized all over the country, and I agree. It has to be an outstanding. It couldn't be anything less. It'd be nice if there was a next jump up, but yeah. I actually read through this whole 360 review, and for the most part, it's very, very good, but there was one section in there that bothered me just a little bit, and I don't know if there's anything that can be done about it, because since this is an anonymous thing, I don't know if you'd ever be able to figure out who it is that still has the problem, but that appears that in a very slight way, there still seems to be a problem with somebody or two somebodies or three somebodies that still think they're not being included in the planning process and that sort of thing. And I hope she can figure out where that's coming from so she can address it. Otherwise, you're going to continue to have that problem. That's it.
I think it's Kathy.
What I will say to that is we are still working on communication and have been. We've been working with Diane Dihanson, who's a business and communications coach. I do think that we've identified where some of the problems might lie, and we've been working on specifically correcting those. And I'm not going to wait until a year from now to be able to see if we've made a solution for that. I do think that I'm going to go ahead and send especially that communication section out to staff kind of on a quarterly basis to see where we're at with that, to see if we've actually improved that area of communication.
I knew you were working on it.
I was just going to say the same thing Phyllis was. I noticed the same issue. And again, 1, 2, 3, or 10 people, whatever. Same as last year.
Yeah, and that was one of the few pieces that I did include in the development future objectives and potential roadblock section of the review. I think it's very obvious from the results of the 360 review that, you know, while communication has continued to be somewhat of an issue, we can see obvious progress on that front. And so, you know, I think that by continuing to work with Diane DiHansen and, you know, continuing to prioritize communication within the library, I think that we'll be successful down the road, continue to be successful down the road.
And one more comment with that. I do think the strategic planning process will go ahead and give, I think, some of those individuals, again, anonymous, so I don't actually know who they are, potentially the opportunity to implement some of their views into the future of the library.
Excellent. Thank you very much. If there is no further discussion on this performance assessment, then I would entertain a motion to accept it.
I move that we accept the assessment review as written, pass it on to Human Resources.
I second that.
Okay, those in favor, please signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? Hearing none, the motion carries. Moving on to item six, the Library Director Administrative Reports.
Okay, so you have your, you have the budget in your packets. I did not get the revenue reports in here. I tried to get them in at the last minute. We did get them, but the ones specifically printed from HTE were not inserting into my PDF, technical difficulties, but we'll have those back at the next meeting. But you will see revenue numbers there. And then expenses. So if you look at the page 46, I love that these have page numbers now. So page 46 and 47, we're 83% of the year lapsed and we're 75% spent. So we're significantly under budget, which is usual for us towards the end of the year. We will still be spending some money coming up to the end of the year, but we will not be going over our allocated budget on that. You will then see our grants. We are more spent in our Makerspace grant. We will be there by the end of the year, but because the city is essentially 2 months behind in showing the reporting, well, they're a month behind in showing the reporting, and when we have to run the reports and actually put them in Granicus, it was a couple weeks ago, so we're a little bit behind as well. You'll see that we are spent in those areas. There's any questions? No? Okay. Moving on to the gift fund. What you'll see here in the gift fund, we do still have not mobile makerspace match, but match to make for our makerspace grant. And so that will be coming here shortly. We purchased one of the computers that we needed for that space. We'll have one more computer to purchase, getting one Mac and one PC. And then we will have a 3D printer that we'll be bringing into that space as well. If there's no questions about that, the one budget you will not see in here, but you will see at the next meeting, is the Adams Hub. So we have the Adams Hub for Innovation. We've started to spend in that area. We've received our check from the Hop and May Adams Foundation, and we actually have Valerie Quappe here to, she is our manager over at the Adams Hub, and so she will be attending the library board meetings to give reports on the activities that are happening there. You won't see that in your packet for this month because her first day was Monday. So this is fourth day, feet to the fire. We're moving along. So with that, that's the report that I have there. If there is nothing else, I'll move to, did I put one in here? Yes. Move to item B?
Yes, please do.
Okay, so the announcements that I have moving forward is one really big one. Well, one reminder and then one really big announcement. I'll kind of try to go in date order here. So June 3rd was the date that you all selected for your board retreat / we're most likely going to agendize that as a meeting so that if any decisions do come out of that or discussion, that we're not violating open meeting law. So look soon for an agenda for that, probably early next week. Tuesday, I think, is when we'll have it posted. We may have it up tomorrow, though. And then we have on June 10th, which is a Sunday as well, our kickoff to the Summer Learning Challenge. That will be from 12 to 3. We will have Littlest Things Petting Zoo. We will have painted rocks. So the theme is libraries rock. So we'll have painted rocks available, or people can paint painted rocks. That's a tongue twister. We'll have virtual reality available for use, and we will have King of Kings food truck as well as a cotton candy machine. So it'll be a nice fun party to get out there and kick off the Summer Learning Challenge. We will then on the 12th have, they used to be called Wildest Things. They are now called Conservation Ambassadors, and they bring animals, exotic animals. So we're talking like alligators, crocodiles, kangaroos, wallabies, giant boa constrictors. I don't like those ones, but I encourage you guys to come out for that at 6 o'clock at the library. I think that will be a fun time as well. And then the last thing that I have, and I don't think I'm stealing anybody's thunder in their reports, but if you did not know, for the last couple of years, we've had some geese that hang around the library. And this year, one of them established a nest on top of our storage shed. And then when the gooselings hatched, the eggs hatched into gooselings, goslings, I like gooselings better anyway. My degree is not in English. They jumped down into the secret garden. So they've been living in the secret garden. We've had the secret. Yes, so we have the secret garden closed for them, and they seem to be having a blast in there. And if you look online, we've actually got a lot of patrons who will go up to the windows and take pictures of them and post them and tag the Carson City Library in it. So it's kind of fun. I like to say about 3 years ago, we rescued a gosling from running into a drainage hole. And brought it to the library, and then one of my friends actually took it, and it grew up and then flew away not too far from the library. And so we think it's Dewey returning and living at the library. So any questions?
No, thank you very much, Sina. With that, we'll move on to item 7, the other administrative reports, starting with admin and grants.
Thank you, Diane Baker, for the record. So you can see in your report that things are humming along nicely with our Makerspace, our Make It At Two grant. And, of course, I couldn't resist. I had to start doing some show and tell so you could see some of what's going on with our textile class. This is one of the projects that they did. It's kind of just like a little zipper bag, and they've been doing, of course, continuing doing the certifications. We'll be doing that once a month as they, you know, they've wound down some of their project times. And in their place, we've been having additional 3D printing. We've been having the laser cutter soldering. And what you have here is actually a combination of two projects where they're, after they receive their soldering certification, one of the projects was to make an FM radio. So FM radio, and then for those that were also had their 3D certification, they prepared a case for it, for that. So you're seeing some of the things that we've been bringing for them, and we've increased having open hours, especially on the weekend, for them to come in not only to finish projects, because some of the projects, are, you know, they take a little time, but also to experiment and start to prepare their own make projects. So, and then the if you have any questions on that, no? Okay, then the other item that I had, we did have a great chance to interact and with a couple of organizations in town to be able to bring the foster parent information nights to the library, where we were able to use our open space and reimagine, you know, and move things around for that. I know from the first night out, they actually did get a couple that signed up for the program. So there, you know, there was actual good results from that as well. And again, just I can pop onto what they have there, they really still need foster people in the system for all ranges, not just to take, but even respite-type care. So if you know anybody on that part, they're always glad to have that, and they've loved being at the library, so we will probably have some future programs, but they do like to try to move their operations to different locations to try to get engage the community in any way they can. So that's what I have for you today. Any questions?
Thank you very much,
Great.
Diane.
Thank you.
Moving on to item B, the access services update.
Kathy Rush, for the record, access services manager. So in your packet, the report for access services starts out with the NEA Big Read of True Grit, which was rolled out in the very beginning of May. And it was an opportunity to bring back Ruby the Rattlesnake, who had been stored over the winter. And, you know, it was in pretty good condition, needed a little touch-up. But what was really interesting was putting the snake into the art gallery at WNC, which gave it a very different feel, almost like a piece of art instead of, you know, a float prop. So anyway, I think it looked really nice, particularly when they got all the artwork on the walls around it as well. So in addition to the WNC kickoff, the library also provided many different ways to read or experience True Grit, which included large print books, and as well as, of course, all the giveaway books, and downloadable books, and book club bag books, and movies, lots of different things, courtesy of Amy and Rachel's very hard work. So the second part of the report introduces Jana Wiersma, who's our new shelver, and she has been a wonderful addition to the staff and really, really keeps the books moving and back on the shelf and makes it so much easier for all of us to do our jobs. I did interview her a little bit for this report, and she said she has always wanted to be a librarian and plans to go for her master's degree at some point. So she's really enjoying the opportunity to work in the library. Any questions?
Thank you very much, Kathy. Mm-hmm. And moving on to item C, the collection development report.
Amy Lauder, collection development manager, for the record. First thing on my report is our Books for a Lifetime project, and that is what we used our state collection development grant for this year, a little bit throwback to the money stuff earlier in the meeting. That grant and the Playway grant are spent as of, I think, yesterday. So those are wrapped up. So we surveyed users and looked at circulation statistics and a few other things and picked out a list of 100 of our patrons' favorite books to focus on, as well as other classics and popular titles. I think we had about $11,000 to spend this year. It was more than it has been for a while. So that gave us a great opportunity to say what do people want from their library, what are their favorite things, and make sure we have plenty of them and that they're new and good condition and that we have ebooks and audiobooks and different formats, large print, different things in those high demand titles. So that was really fun, and then it was kind of interesting. As soon as we put that out, PBS came out with their top 100 novels thing. So they're on the same, had the same idea. But we had fiction, nonfiction, kids stuff, graphics novels, a few Nevada-specific things, so it was fun to see, like, what's specific to our community with that project. So Rachel and I worked on that especially together a lot, and she was really happy to get a chance to kind of dig into the collection and see what needed some help and fixing up, so that was pretty great. And then the other part, and this Kathy helped a lot with, and Ermal came in and helped us on Sunday morning. We came in, we found, during the refresh, we lost some of our old particle board shelving. It's no longer structurally sound, so we were able to get some new metal shelves. They came in a few weeks ago. So yeah, we came in a Sunday morning, put them up, and we moved some stuff, because where's the fun if you don't do that? So now all the movies are in the middle, all the audiobooks are on the wall, there's CDs and playaways interfiled, so it's a little easier to browse if you're looking for a specific author or an audiobook, they're all together. So we're still working on getting the new signage up for that, but I think it works pretty well. So that's it. Any questions?
Just a note on that, Sina Lloyd, for the record, the funding for the book, the replacement bookcases, actually came from our salary savings, and that was approved by IFC for us to do. So if anybody was wondering where that.
For what it's worth, not a fan of the new AV mixing the playaways in with the other ones. Not a fan.
You just want the playaways.
I want to be able to see what I'm looking for. I don't want to have to hunt and peck all over the place. All
right. Comment noted.
I still don't like it, Diane.
Thank you very much, Amy. With that, we'll move on to item 8, the board members' announcements and requests for information. Did anybody have any announcements or RFIs? Seeing none, we'll move on to item 9, public comment. If any members of the public wish to address the library board, now would be the time. Seeing none forthcoming, we'll move on to item 10, adjournment. Is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
We are adjourned.